And we're live.
Hi, everybody. It is my pleasure to announce that in the wake of the protests that have been happening in our streets, we are going to be defunding the police here in San Francisco. This is amazing news. This is amazing news for the Black community, for the people of color in our communities. This is going to be great for San Francisco. I'll get back to you with more news on this. Oh, somebody just stole my headphones. Total
Six
disregard.
Later.
Guys, turns out defunding the police was not a great idea. You know, it didn't really occur to me until, you know, I went to my local Erewhon to get my wine and all of it had been shoplifted. This is a massive, massive crime wave. I'm not going to go ahead and say it's because I defunded the police, but we're going to go ahead and refund the police. I think we're going to, you know, start with aggressive law enforcement here, guys, and try to solve these issues. I in no way, contributed to this, but we are going to refund the police. Thank you, guys. And scene, welcome
well
to Will and Amala Live. Will's going and taking his seat because he was the lowly thief that stole my headphones. Yes. It's not very nice of you.
Well, you reap what you sow, Amala.
Now, guys, I'm going to go ahead and warn you. You might hear construction in the background while our stream is going today. Our new office is being all constructed and set up. We are new to this space, new to this studio, which I hope you guys are enjoying so far. We're getting the lighting all set for you guys. So if you hear construction, all it is, don't worry about it. We're going to go on with our show today. We have so many stories to talk to you about today. Hopefully we get to all of them. We're going to talk about San Francisco choosing to refund the police, ESPN running with the Bubba Wallace race hoax of last year, funnily enough, still holding that lie truthful, so they say. We're going to talk about some anti-vax mandate protests, as well as doing some PragerU superlatives. We got some other stories stuffed in there, so stick around and listen to stay informed. Will and I are trying to keep you on the up and up, keep you guys armed with the right information to battle the people who want to debate you on these things. So let's start off with the San Francisco story. We all know the San Francisco mayor, London Breed. She came out today with this press conference talking about her plan to go heavier on law enforcement. Here we go.
It's time that the reign of criminals who are destroying our city, it is time for it to come to an end. And it comes to an end when we take the steps to be more aggressive with law enforcement, more aggressive with the changes in our policies, and less tolerant of all the bullshit that has destroyed our city.
Mm.
We are gonna turn this around. This is a city that has a population of less than 1 million people with an over $12 billion budget. The residents of this city have been extremely generous in providing us with the resources we need to make a difference. And now, the priorities we need to make must be to protect them, must be to turn things around in their neighborhoods. When you are in a room full of people, I would say probably anywhere between 90 and 95% of folks could raise their hand and say that either their car has been broken into, or they've been a victim in some capacity or another. That is not okay. That is not acceptable.
So let's get into discussing this. And we're not going to talk about London Breed specifically, but more so progressive policies and their effect on cities. So for those of you who don't know or who aren't aware of what's happening in San Francisco right now, they are experiencing a massive crime surge of people going around assaulting people, robbing them, shoplifting from stores, so much so that large franchises and small businesses are choosing to leave the city. Why? Because they can no longer afford to be there with the amount of people committing crimes in their area. It's a scary place to be living in right now. Why? Because of progressive policies. What type of progressive policies, you ask? Well, San Francisco chose specifically to decriminalize shoplifting. Anybody who shoplifts something under $950, it's no longer the big crime that it used to be. So what would you guess would happen when somebody does something like that, when we decriminalize shoplifting? Oh, it starts to happen more and more. San Francisco and California as a state in general is also really popular for having bail reform and zero bail policies to help lower income people who commit crimes get out on bail. Fantastic.
I'm very curious to see how this goes.
Yeah.
I'm curious because many of these people always will tell you what you want to hear, but don't actually follow through on the things.
Yep.
There are so many problems in San Francisco and so many problems in California mm-hmm. that I find it almost laughable to think that the things that she's saying are actually believable.
Mm-hmm.
All of these people love to lie. I mean, they lied about defunding the police. Why would they now lie? Not lie about funding the police again.
Sure.
You know, just to get the people on the left right now in many of these blue cities and these blue states are realizing that people are fed up with every single thing that they have done.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, okay? Even the people who are some of the diehards are fed up and are changing sides or at least just want a change of the leadership, because leadership over this last year has been so bad with crime, with COVID, with taxes and the economy. It has been so bad. Ratings for all of these people are in the dumps. And I think that, to me, what it seems like is more of a trying to save face than actual going to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think she knows what she's doing is wrong. But until I start seeing some concrete things to say, we are going to get rid of zero bail. We are going to fund public works and public safety. We are going to fund people going to dispose of trash. We are going to get rid of the drug sanctuaries for people. We are going to criminalize some of the homeless people that we are seeing in our streets vandalizing things.
Yep.
I mean, until you actually put out real policies that are going to do these things, then I think it's more just saving face. We have a lot of people in politics right now who love to just come out and lie. People who are running for office, people who are in office, who want to come and lie because they think that that's how they get votes. And I think that a lot of us now, after seeing this, especially for the last year, 2 years, can see right through all of their bull when they say these types of things. I hope that she is right. I hope that she's actually going to do something.
Yeah, but it's interesting when it gets to progressive policies and what they do to cities is they just make all of this stuff permissible. They say, okay, you want to be homeless, you want to do drugs, you want to commit theft, by all means, go ahead and do it. And instead of saying, here's the problem. The problem is the record-breaking homelessness. The problem is the drugs and the record-breaking drug overdoses. The problem is the crime and the amount of people that we are constantly having to go after with law enforcement to arrest them for the crimes that they're committing. They diagnose that problem, right? And they go, okay, I recognize that this is happening in my city. Instead of solving it, Let's just make it easier for it to happen here. And let's just make it so that we don't have to deal with the repercussions of these people dealing with the crimes. But now they do, because these progressive policies seep into the cities and they go, okay, well, it's just affecting those low income communities. Who cares? I'm fine living in my mansion in my mostly white neighborhood. It's not going to affect me. Who cares if it's affecting those lowly people of color who make no money, blah, blah, blah. And then guess what? Once they're done affecting the lower income communities, oh, it starts to go into the middle class communities. Then it starts to reach your community, to where now you're going to a store where you can't buy anything because it's been shoplifted. And what was particularly interesting about this speech in particular is that she talked about the people who contribute to the city of San Francisco. It seems to me like the people who have money and influence are saying this is unacceptable because why? It is seeping into their neighborhoods.
Yeah, you know, this really started out in the Tenderloins, and the Tenderloins have always been pretty bad in San Francisco. I think people will admit that. But I've been to San Francisco many a time. I've been a lot of times for work.
Mm-hmm.
I've even gone up, which isn't really San Francisco, but over to Stanford and all sorts of the nicer places in the Bay Area, Oakland, Berkeley, all these different type of places in the Bay. And it is all ruined. It is all bad. Okay. It's not just the lower income communities.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I'm like, well, these things for some cities, I'm like, well, once it affects the higher ups, then maybe they'll say something.
Mm-hmm.
But in San Francisco, in the Bay, mm-hmm. it is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It is legitimately everywhere. In nice parts of downtown, in the nice college towns, in the richer neighborhoods, in Silicon Valley, it is literally everywhere. The homelessness and the crime. Like, this has been going on for years now.
Yeah, but it's coming to a head now. And what it's causing is, I think what we've seen that is different about what's happening now is these big businesses going, I'm not going to do business here anymore. We got CVS's, Walgreens, Targets leaving San Francisco.
Tesla. Not really going, San Francisco, but
taking their headquarters. Yeah, yeah. Leaving the Silicon Valley and taking their headquarters over to Texas. It's happening. Increasingly. So they have to make change or they're not going to have revenue anymore as a city.
I'm just curious to see if there will actually be any serious accountability when it comes to the policies and the politicians that put the policies in place. Because I don't know, I lost my train of thought.
No, I get exactly what you're saying, too. There's not going to be accountability for this. Even if they take the city of San Francisco and turn it around in a day's time, What about all that other time?
Yeah, I just remembered. The way that she's changing her tune now, and all of a sudden you don't get to say, the police, we need to go crack down on crime and go out there and have this big triumphant speech of how you're going to turn the city around.
Yep.
And you don't get to do that when you were the exact same people who were voting for these policies and implementing these policies for so long without having to take responsibility for the policies of creating the mess that you've created now. So I wonder if the city's actually going to hold these people accountable, or if the people that put them in place are just going to be like, oh, well, now that we've ruined the city, we'll just do the obvious thing and fix it, but we'll also take credit for fixing it and just being running with these new talking points. You know what I mean?
What about all the products? What about all the stuff you stole from business owners? What about all the people who died from the gun violence in your city? What about all the people who overdosed in your streets because you made it permissible for them to do drugs? They're not going to be held accountable for that.
No, none of these people are going to be held accountable. I mean, what's funny, I mean, about all these people who always come out and say something, they want to say something woke. It is always proven over and over again that they are full of crap. They're always full of crap, all of these people. I mean, I'm reading Vivek's book right now, Woke Inc. It's really, really good. I highly recommend all of you get it. And he talks about his time at Goldman Sachs. And he talks about how Goldman Sachs, you know, the investment firm, essentially came on and said, hey, we are not going to make public any new companies unless they have at least a diversity hire, right? They have to have a certain amount of diversity people at their company for us to say that they are going to go public. But what did Goldman Sachs do? Goldman Sachs was exploiting people in Asian countries, selling their wealth to rich oil barons. I mean, this is what they were doing. And they say, oh, we care about diversity stuff. But then they're doing the exact opposite when it's behind closed doors.
They don't
so
care.
I don't trust any of these people as far as I can throw them. They're liars.
They're liars.
And it sucks that like someone comes around and says something that could potentially be good, that could be potentially very helpful for a city. Like her coming out and saying this, but you have broken my trust.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like if a girlfriend cheats on you 10 times in a row, it's like, I'm going to expect that you do it again.
Right,
you know,
but it's the job of the voters to hold them accountable, and the voters are suckers. I don't think that they will vote differently now and change the type of politicians that they're putting into office to see changed outcomes. I really don't.
I disagree a little bit. I think that in 2022, we are going to see major changes. Not in San Francisco.
That's
but in terms of a U.S., I mean,
yeah.
100 seats. I mean, that's what I'm thinking, is how crazy it is. But, you know, 2/3 of I think, people in this country have woken up to what has happened.
No, I do think generally across the U.S., we are going to see a lot of shifts. But I think that places like L.A., San Francisco, California are not going to be part of that necessarily.
It is strange to know because, you know, like in New York City, the guy who was elected mayor after Bill de Blasio, you know, even though there's all this anti-police rhetoric everywhere and all that, he was a police officer, right? The guy who got elected mayor as of New York City, right? He was a police officer. So it's like even these places that seem so bad, I do have faith. I do have some levels of faith as long as good people continue to do something and speak out.
Yeah, and as long as you actually get the facts, which we are going to get into a story about Facebook fact-checking. Will did an interview with Raheem Kassam, which we will show you guys very soon, but after this story. Something that really requires fact-checking is a tweet that ESPN put out in regard to Bubba Wallace. You all remember Bubba Wallace, the guy who complained of a noose being found in his garage at NASCAR, and that was not the case at all. It was not a noose. It was a garage pull. And he lied and said
fake
it was a noose. It was a fake noose and also fake news. And he reported this crying racism. The FBI did an investigation into this and said, no, that was not a noose. Also, it was not recently placed in your garage. It's been in your garage for a number of months, and you would have known that it was there the entire time. But ESPN put this tweet out. Let's read the tweet. Last year, a noose was found in Bubba Wallace's stall at Talladega Super Speedway. The next day, the NASCAR community stood with him in unity. I was like, holy S word, it's the whole garage. That's when I lost it. Let's watch a little bit of this video. I won't subject you to the whole thing.
I just wanted to stand with him during the national anthem to show my support for him, and was appalled by what I had learned. And then as drivers got involved, I think crew members, team managers, team owners, it really started to snowball within a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So brave.
So stunningly brave. Wow. Okay, I'm over it. I don't want to watch any more of it. Yeah. How can you, a year later, after a full FBI investigation has been launched into this allegation, proving that it was false, come back and talk about how a noose was found in his garage?
Because they will never be satisfied. They will never be satiated with their fake racism. They will continue to do it. I mean, it's literally fake. It is so fake. It's even faker than the Jesse stuff, almost. I mean, but like, how can they put this out? Like, you know, timing? Timing-wise, this is very bad.
Yeah,
for it's them to put it after what just happened with Jussie Smollett, and then they're like, "Oh, this seems like a good time to put this out."
It's almost like they want to reinvigorate the lie, and it's funny because go through the Twitter thread on this if you guys want to go to ESPN's Twitter and go through the Twitter thread. Here's an article that ESPN wrote in June of last year, June of 2020. Here's the headline on the article: FBI says rope had been in Talladega garage since October. Bubba Wallace not a victim of a hate crime, and this is not published by some other independent news outlet, not by Fox, not by CNN, not by MSNBC. This is published by ESPN. And then ESPN has the gall, the audacity, the confidence to post on their Twitter that there was a noose in Bubba Wallace's garage.
I'm just seeing their own reporting.
Yes. It's right. Crazy. Right.
I'm just waiting for this to be, you know, why do I get my posts removed off of Instagram and Facebook when they say, oh, it's false information, even though it's true?
Right.
But then ESPN can put out this BS and have it be totally fine.
Have two contradictory articles.
Right.
Because it's not true versus false. It's approved versus unapproved. It's
exactly.
Approved narrative versus unapproved.
Exactly. I was asking kind of rhetorically.
I know. But I'm giving deliberate response.
No, you are exactly right, Taylor. You are.
Thanks, Will.
Yeah.
Oh, there's nothing else to add there.
I was just complimenting Taylor.
Good. What we do need in this case is actual fact checkers. Now, we've heard from National Pulse about Facebook that their fact checkers aren't really fact checkers. They are simply third party opinions, and they get to choose based on their opinion what is considered fact and what is considered fiction. Here's an article. Here's an interview that Will did with Raheem Kassam to talk about this.
All right, everyone, we got Raheem Kassam, who is the editor-in-chief of the National Pulse, a great publication. Hope you guys are all checking it out, checking out their podcast, his podcast with Natalie Winters. What's going on, man? Good to have you here.
Man, it's a busy few days. Thank you for having me.
I know. Tell me about it. We're filming a lot of episodes for the future, and just there's so much going on right now. There's so much going on. One of the things that I saw on National Pulse that I feel like I had to get you on, Facebook just admitted in court that its fact checks are just third-party opinions. Now, this is big for me specifically. I actually just had posts removed off of Facebook because they said that they were false, and now it's coming out that these aren't actually essentially Facebook coming out and saying, oh, this is wrong. It's merely just opinions, but somehow they still get to ban you from your page, even just based on other people's opinions.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Facebook is embroiled in this lawsuit at the moment, and this is where their lawyers have preferred this opinion that their fact checks in and of themselves are just third-party opinions. Now, we've focused on Facebook fact checkers for quite some time. In fact, we had a little bit of a tete-a-tete with one of their top fact checkers, a chap called Alan Duke over at a group called Lead Stories. We've actually interviewed him before and talked to him about all of this. And it's really interesting how this process works. So Facebook effectively contracts with third parties like Alan Duke, like Lead Stories, like this group named in this lawsuit here. And what they do is they go through posts like yours, posts like ours, posts like John Stossel's, who's the lead party in this lawsuit. And he brings the case and says, hey, look, you know, you're claiming that I'm putting out fake news. That is defamatory. That is actually going to harm my business and give me a bad reputation. To which Facebook lawyers simply replied that actually their fact checks are not fact checks, as we might know them, or you might think they are from using the word fact and maybe the other word check, but they are protected opinions by third parties. Now, these third parties are groups like Lead Stories. They're groups like Climate Feedback, which is specifically the one named in this case. But there are so many others. In fact, there are 103 verified partners that Facebook uses to help itself, you know, quote unquote, fact check articles all across their platforms. Where it really gets interesting to me is, of course, all of the people, the groups that have been deleted completely as a result of their most recent fact check industry, which is the COVID-19 fact check industry. Are they now telling us, are Facebook lawyers now telling us that actually medical terms and medical articles that are removed from Facebook because they go against perhaps the establishment narrative on certain things, are they telling us that those are just third-party opinions too? Because that will be where it gets really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much out there about, you know, ivermectin or HCQ or any of those things that at a time, I mean, when you would post about that, you could get immediately banned. PragerU was in Facebook jail for a year for some of the things that we had posted about these different medications. And they just come in and they can just take you away. But now they're coming and saying it's opinion. What is the bigger implication of this in the sense of, are these just opinions, or can they still, after this case, as you're saying, can they still use these opinions to justify banning someone off of their platform?
Well, it opens up all sorts of different avenues now, doesn't it? Because, of course, a lot of these platforms claim to be platforms and not publishers. But what kind of platform that is afforded the protections of United States legislation then has third-party people, third-party organizations, in a lot of these places, extremely partisan third-party organizations. I mean, we did an investigation into Lead Stories, one of the premium Facebook fact-checkers. Almost all Lead Stories staff once worked at CNN. Almost all Lead Stories staff donate politically donate to Democrat Party causes and Democrat politicians. And I'm sure if you go through the same 103 verified partners, in fact, I've just given myself an assignment, that is what we'll do, you will find the very same thing across the board. So it's got those Section 230 platform versus publisher implications, but it's also got further implications for other people now, like yourself, like myself, to go to Facebook, maybe take lawyers to Facebook and say, aha, you've admitted here that you're not actually fact-checking anything. So what's with this shield that you're putting up in front of people's posts? You're defaming them by doing so. Their audience might believe them less. Their business might be harmed as a result of it. And you've just admitted that they're just third-party opinions. It's really fascinating.
Yeah, and they want to have their cake and eat it too at the same time. You know, you don't see many of these left-wing pages being shut down or having this false information about it. Even with all the, like, let's say the stuff about Jussie Smollett that just came out, right? All of these people had lied about it, or the stuff about Kyle Rittenhouse, lied about it, said the wrong thing about it. But you're not seeing fact checks on these people's posts, right? It's only on who are conservative.
The Independent, I won't call it a newspaper because they don't actually print anymore, it's just a website, but The Independent, owned by a Russian oligarch based out of London, published that Kyle Rittenhouse had murdered two Black Lives Matter protesters. And just left it up there for weeks and weeks, and nobody challenged them on it. Facebook didn't challenge them on it. Twitter didn't challenge them on it. They're allowed to peddle this information, en masse as a means by which, you know, to get these people hurt. Let's not forget, this isn't just some kind of theoretical study. They are putting people in the line of fire as a result of all of this. And now we learn that they don't actually use any real fact checkers here. They just use third party opinion. So I think they've really opened up a can of worms here. I'm personally very excited about it, and I'm studying this lawsuit intently to see where this goes.
Yeah, but we know that Mark Zuckerberg himself, I mean, his foundation works entirely basically to elect many Democrats to office, right? So to think that there is a political bias to this, I mean, it should just be obvious to people. If you don't think there's a political bias to these things going on with the fact checks, I mean, it is clearly obvious. And in more in the political bias, you had an exclusive today, which I heard you talking about it yesterday on the War Room. So that's why I wanted to bring you on to talk about this, was an exclusive: new Fauci Zuckerberg emails reveal offer of data reports to aid lockdown policies, vaccine development. So all of you guys can check this out at the National Pulse. We will have it linked down in the description of the show. But for anyone else, what is going on here, Reem?
Well, if you remember, earlier this year, there were a bunch of emails released, a bunch of Fauci's emails that were released. They were FOIA'd, and we went through them, and other people went through them as well. And what we found was these stunning emails from Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO and founder of Meta, formerly Facebook, and they'd redacted a bunch of information in there. So we went back to the U.S. government, and we said, hey, We want more information about these emails. We want to know if more emails between these two had occurred after this introduction back in March 2020. And sure enough, yesterday they came back to us and they said, yes, here they are. And so what we did was we went through them and found that actually the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, the charitable or not-for-profit arm of the whole Zuckerberg empire, actually offered Anthony Fauci and the NIH data from Facebook. That's people's data, your data, my data, ordinary people's data from all around the world, ostensibly, and said, hey, if we can use aggregate data reports to help facilitate decisions about lockdowns, and specifically, if we can give you money to help vaccine development, then you just let me know. Now, that's obviously, like, as you and I know, that's not unheard of in these billionaire circles to be throwing money around. And Zuckerberg's other operations, CTCL, were like the elections last year. We've covered all of it, and we know all of that happens, and your audience probably knows that happens. Where this gets really interesting is Senator Marsha Blackburn actually confronted Fauci about talking to Zuckerberg this year, and Fauci responded that he had no idea what she was talking about. Effectively, he lied. He lied to a U.S. senator. He's lied in the U.S. Senate. We know he's lied to Rand Paul before. But these
he lied about the lab leaks before, talking about all that.
But this is really interesting to me, because now we've caught him, because it wasn't just one errant email back in March where he can turn and go, oh, I forgot about that one. There were a series of emails and a conversation back and forth. In fact, Fauci responds to Zuckerberg in this email chain. He says, thanks for the note and your offer to help. I will think hard about ways we may take you up on your offer. So how did he then go back to the Senate, to Marsha Blackburn, and say, I don't know what you're talking about? It's a lie, and frankly, he has to be held legally accountable.
Do you think that'll happen? I mean, with everything going on, it seems to me, I've been looking at the news recently, Amtrak has just, ended its federal vaccine mandate for its employees, along with Oracle, and LAUSD schools just stopped their vaccine mandate for students. It seems like things are starting to get a little bit better here in the States. People are starting to wake up. When you see this happening with Fauci, do you think something like that will happen?
I'm an eternal optimist. So when I wake up in the morning, I see Fauci in my head behind bars, So I am an eternal optimist about these things. I understand, that people can get very frustrated about the slowness of this stuff. But we have actually made quite a lot of, certainly a lot more headway into these things than Fauci's opponents did back in the 60s and 70s. If you recall, he was actually widely panned, and rightly so, by many people in the LGBT community over his handling of HIV. But they didn't get to this point where actually they could see his emails and know what he was saying and understand just how much in the pocket of Big Pharma he was. Now we're getting to know all that information relatively quickly. I do say relatively, because I know people are frustrated by the speed of this, but I'm an optimist about these things. I think if we keep digging, you're going to end up getting these people. The people around him, people like Peter Daszak, who headed up the Wuhan lab from his Echo Health Alliance, another Fauci gave him funding. He's now off the WHO's, quote-unquote, independent commission. Another one, Marion Koopmans, we got her as well. So these people are not totally untouchable. And if you dig hard enough, we work around the clock going through these documents. And I genuinely believe that somewhere down the line, at least in our lifetimes, these people will be held accountable for their actions.
Man, I'm hoping so. It seems tough. I mean, you see what's happening in places like Georgia right now, where people are too weak to actually hold people accountable, right? You have people who want to talk a big game and then say, oh, we're going to do something about it, and then they do nothing about it. So I really do hope that you're right. Give us some hope before you go. What are you seeing right now in America? Do you think things are going to turn around?
Well, I look at the polling. I look deep into the polling. I look at people's skepticism about what this regime right now, and I do not call it an administration, I call it a regime, what they're doing, how people feel about the alternatives in the Democrat Party, like Kamala Harris, how people feel about new alternatives that we're hearing about now, the new old alternatives like Hillary Clinton. And then I look at what the political right is doing, wonderful, candidates coming up like Blake Masters and other folks like that. And I just, it fills me with optimism. It fills me with hope. It fills me with knowing that actually what Trump did wasn't just what Trump did. He also paved the way for this new generation of fighters going forward. So I think America has a lot more ahead of it than a lot of other nations. I'm afraid my country, the United Kingdom, actually voted this week in favor of COVID vaccine passports for everybody. So America really does have to fight because it is the last place in the world that has that freedom at its core. And I feel, you know, I feel down about where we are necessarily right now, but I feel great hope for the future.
And just like Dennis Prager says, America, the last best hope. If America falls, the rest of the world falls. God bless you, man. How can people follow you and everything that you're doing?
Well, thenationalpulse.com is the site. We have a podcast. People can subscribe to that. And we are 100% people funded. So if they want to help us out, the URL for that is fundrealnews.com.
Got it, man. And I got to get you and Natalie on the show, too. I'm writing a piece right now about how America shouldn't participate in the Beijing Olympics. And I would love to get your guys' take on all that.
Would love to. Anytime.
Awesome, man. Thank you.
Great guy. Great interview, Will.
Thanks.
Wow. Good job holding down the fort.
Raheem's a great guy.
He really is. It's an important story and it's an important thing to be talking about, especially in this age of censorship that we are in right now. It's sort of just ridiculous how blatantly they can get away with this stuff.
Uh-huh. A National Pulse is a great resource for news, checking there every morning for the news of the day that things are going on. You know, again, they're independent and they're doing great things and they talk about things that a lot of the mainstream outlets won't talk about. So definitely go check out National Pulse, heroes, American patriots over there.
Right. And he spoke about something interesting about being, you know, a short-term pessimist. And I know a lot of you guys feel that way. I do want to show you guys what we have going on with PragerForce, because we have a group called PragerForce at PragerU that some of you may not know about. If you're a high school student, a college student, or a young professional below the age of 35, you can join PragerForce and join this digital community of like-minded people to sort of support you in this most trying time. We do have a new ad for our PragerForce group, and here that is.
Hey man, do you know what this training is about?
Nope. I guess we'll find out.
Hello and welcome to your diversity, equity, and inclusion training. First, I want to commend you. I understand that you now have 3 times as many Black women and transgender employees than you did in 2020. Well done. Now, let's remind everyone of our zero tolerance policy. Remember, any of the following is grounds for termination of employment: displaying American flags in pride of country, walking around without your pronouns, saying Merry Christmas or discussing God, not letting a person of color in front of you in line at the cafeteria. Now say it with me.
Black Lives Matter! Defund the police! Woo. Hate all men! Silence is violence!
Let's make sure that victims speak before oppressors, Stephen.
What does this have to do with selling computers?
There you guys go. So for all you young professionals out there that don't feel heard in your experience going through these DEI trainings, we hear you. We see you. Join PragerForce today. Will and I, did you voice an actor for that? I know Taylor did.
Are you trying to call me out because I didn't voice one?
No, did you not?
No, I didn't voice one.
Oh, sorry.
Great job,
no, it's okay. It's okay.
No, but I think
you guys filmed that when I was gone.
You might have recognized I was the voice of the young white leftist teaching the diversity training. So,
Makes sense.
I got to play a white person just like that one actress that's playing Anne Boleyn.
Uh-huh. And imagine cool. If I voiced the black person.
Yeah. Yeah. Who voiced the black person, though?
Oh, that was me. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Craig.
No. Yeah, it was T-Dog over here.
That was you?
Yeah.
You voiced the black person?
Yeah.
That is unbelievable.
We switched roles. I voiced a white person. Taylor voiced a black person. And, you know, that is the true American strength.
Canceled now because I took a role from minorities.
Right. Yeah.
I should cancel myself according to modern Hollywood standards.
Honestly, you should. You should print out a 4-page letter apology.
Who was it? Was it the guy who was in Theory of Everything or whatever? He apologized for playing like a trans person.
Uh-huh. Yes, yeah. Eddie Redmayne. Gosh.
Yeah, he's a weird looking guy.
So ridiculous. But you guys didn't get to see Will do voice acting in this one. But this Friday, a new episode of Leo and Layla is dropping. And Will and I voice act again in this one. Although it's going to be different voices. I've done more voice acting since working at PragerU than I ever done in my life.
Well, it's not expected that you would do too much voice acting.
No,
regardless.
It is not.
So
now I just get, you know, it's a free-for-all. I get to do whatever here.
No, it's a rush.
Guys, if you want to
support PragerU.
If you want to support us in our effort to become world famous voice actors or at least just continue making content here in PragerU. You guys can donate by going to prageru.com/donate. And Will, don't you have something interesting to share with the people about why their donation is special this week?
Okay. You guys have heard of... Wait. For all of you guys who are only listening to this and not watching, you're going to have to listen closely. Are you watching closely? Okay.
Okay.
Imagine you give $25, okay? You give $25. Now...
It's very generous.
Yes, very generous.
If you donate $25, that'll turn into $75.
Wow, you did it
because
so smooth.
They're triple matched.
Oh my gosh.
Every donation that you give is going to be triple matched. You give $25, $75, okay? And this isn't because, you know, Biden printed out extra money at the Federal Reserve to do this money. This is money that we have generous people who are doing this. So please, donate today. It will be triple matched. It will help keep our videos free, help get us some new stuff on the show, all sorts of great things so that we can continue to do the great work that we do.
Fan.
Can I have my 50 back after this now?
Yeah, he's like, give me my money back.
No, that's a tax. That's a tax. So, you know.
Now, let's circle back, as a young woman in this current administration might say, to a story that we covered yesterday about a Denver public school that placed outside of its school on its little billboard that they were doing families of color playground nights, which is in and of itself so blatantly racist. But they posted this outside of their school out in Denver, and one Christopher Rufo pointed out how racist it was for this school to do that. The school has responded by doubling down on this decision. Here's what the school said in an email from the school district. Denver Public Schools remains committed to fostering, cultivating, and preserving a culture of inclusion and belonging where our students, families, and team members are safe and welcome. We are here to meet the needs of all our families and students. The school leaders at Centennial received a specific request from families to create a space of belonging. By space of belonging, they mean that only people of color can come to this specific time at the playground. Where's the white family's playground day? Who knows? But they have a families of color one. Now, we'll read more about this. Centennial was responsive to this request. We support efforts like this as they provide connection, support, and inspiration for families which share similar experiences and come from similar backgrounds. Efforts like these are about uniting us, not dividing us.
I think I just... got cancer from reading this response.
Yep.
Every single thing you were reading, every single sentence was wrong.
Every single one.
Everyone had some sort of flaw in it about what they were trying to do. We could go break it down.
We really
from
could.
The school district, that's already wrong. You should just say from woke idiots. Denver Public Schools remains committed to fostering, cultivating, and preserving a culture of inclusion and belonging.
Yeah, to who? Because what are the white kids going to do?
Literally the opposite of inclusion.
Yep.
That is what segregation is. Segregation is not inclusion. Including.
No, it's not. So what about me? Okay, so I'm technically black by woke leftist standards. I'm just a black person rather than a mixed person. And my family is white. So do I get to come to families of color playground night?
Yes.
Oh, so I get to come. Does my family get to come?
I don't know. But I know you get to come.
Yeah, so it's extremely
because when people are half
inclusive.
When people are half black, they always choose to be black.
But I can't come with my family. It seems like
we talked about this standards. Before on the show, like years ago.
We have
or not
talked
years
about
ago,
this.
But
yeah, years ago,
but a long time ago.
Back in the day, yeah, when exactly. I was a youngin.
Yeah,
when
now
I was
13.
Yeah,
but that if it's so bad to be black in America, why when people are half black do they choose to say that they are black? And to like embrace the black side of their personality
because it's helpful.
Like that.
It gives you a little boost. It's a little booster seat for your butt.
You didn't even look at the bottom of this. If you scroll down, you can see his pronouns.
Oh, yes. Scott Pribble, the media relations manager for Denver Public Schools, pronouns he, him, his, just in case you didn't know.
Well, it's also, look at where it says down here at the bottom. It says, students first, integrity, equity, collaboration, accountability, fun. Where is... learning.
Yeah.
Where is math?
Right.
Being educated.
Right. Or future development of students. None of those are there. He has equity above accountability.
Yeah.
Fun should be above equity.
Honestly. Yeah. And accountability should be above equity.
Well, I mean, accountability and equity don't even work together.
No, they don't.
It's a great point, though. It is telling that this is someone who works in education, and education is nowhere listed on the priorities.
Yep.
in his email signature.
Yeah.
It's just...
what equity is.
Five other things are.
Amazing.
Create a space of belonging. And then Centennial was responsive to their request. The school leaders at Centennial received a specific request from families to create a space of belonging. So because someone came to you and said, we want a space just for our race,
yep.
you oblige them?
Right.
That is the exact opposite of what you should do.
Yeah. If I would someone love to meet comes, the person.
If I came to a school and said, well, I want a space just for white people, you shouldn't oblige me either.
No.
You shouldn't oblige any of one.
But they did, and they're doubling down on it. To get called out on it and then have this go viral on the internet and all these parents be in an uproar about what you've done and then to double down on your decision to do that is just insane.
Mary J. Oblige. That's what they're doing.
They Mary J. obliged mm-hmm. these families.
That's exactly right.
Yep. For all we know, Mary J. Blige asked them to do this.
Probably did.
Probably did. Now, yeah, clearly this school has nothing to do with education. You know who's doing more education than these Denver public schools? PragerU is. And one of the people doing this education is little William Witt right over here.
Am I?
Yeah, by going out on the streets and talking to people. You did one, a man on the street about the Texas freeze, asking people what they knew about it.
I did indeed do that.
How did this go for you, Will, before we show the people?
You're just going to have to wait to find out.
You're just going to have to wait to find out. Lucky for you, I have the video right here for your viewing pleasure. Here's Will's man on the street.
What's up, guys? This is Will Witt with PragerU. Today, we are at University of North Texas, talking to people about the Texas freeze that happened earlier this year and wondering if people know why it happened. Let's do it. Do you think that wind and solar energy here in Texas has been helpful for the state, or you think it's hurt it or no effect?
I'm sure it's helped it.
I'm not too sure, but I feel like it should be some type of good use.
I think they're a good idea.
I think it's good for the environment, especially on campus. I saw the windmills. It produces less pollution, mm-hmm. or no pollution. Yeah. I'm not quite sure. Yeah.
Until you have to recycle them. Were you here for the Texas freeze that happened in February and all that?
Yes. Yeah.
How was that for you?
It was pretty tough. We didn't have power for about 5 days, so... it was pretty cold.
Yeah. Did you lose power?
I lost power and my cat.
And your cat?
Yeah.
Oh, no. The cat died?
No. It just got lost in the snow and I never found it again.
So it probably died.
Let's not say that.
It's in cat heaven, okay? Don't worry about that. Do you know why that Texas freeze happened?
I'm not quite sure.
Texas, I think, didn't have like power from outside sources. It wasn't like connected with other states and other places that would have been able to get the power in and things like that.
There we go. That's Will's man. Do you have something you wanted to say, Will? Or
my greatest video of all time.
Is this your greatest video?
My world's greatest achievement. Right
yeah,
there.
There will never be a better man on the street
no,
or a
by
better
far
piece
the best
of
one.
Will Witt content
exactly.
than
no,
what
sir.
Caused the Texas freeze.
When they erect statues of me, they will say, Will Witt, author of The Texas Freeze, Man on the Street.
Right,
by
right.
Radio.
He told
Absolutely.
Us what happened with the Texas freeze.
Yeah,
he
told a girl her Life cat died.
Yeah, you told this girl that her cat died, yeah. even though she was trying to remain optimistic that the mm-hmm. cat's just like played in the snow for a little bit and just went about its
right.
business.
No, the cat died. I am sure of it.
Oh.
But I was in February when those happened. I was actually dating a girl who lived in Dallas at the time. And so I went there during the Texas freeze. And so I actually got to see it firsthand. It was insane. It was absolutely insane. It was so cold for Texas. It was crazy. So the fact that people don't actually know why that happened, why the power's all shut down, and
right.
why things couldn't get done, and why it was such a disaster driving, and the airlines, all of it, please actually do watch the video and watch the 5-minute video so you can see the rest of it. Because
right.
we stopped the video before I really lay out the facts on these
yeah,
mamajamas.
Before he mic dropped on these college kids.
Boom, libtard. Got him.
Yeah, it's so crazy that they don't know.
But
I know.
It's
just like,
broadly, it was what? An over-reliance on wind and solar energy?
Yeah, and it freezes over.
An over-reliance on wind and solar energy. Yeah. That was yep. That's basically the idea. I mean, that's yep. why it happened. You know, they didn't have anything back up to restore the power when that happened.
Yep.
So
we also have a 5-minute video about it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah, we got a 5-minute video and then the rest of that video.
Yeah, so go check it out if you want to learn more about the Texas freeze and just how reliable renewable energy sources really are. Now, you guys put this story on the dock, so I'm going to let you guys talk about it because you guys love this or whatever. Lord of the Rings and Return of the Jedi have been added to the National Film Registry as two of the 25 films that they have decided to keep saved and preserved. So go on your Lord
well,
of the Rings rant.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know how this works. I don't know how they choose. I mean, it's like, if it's like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, then I get it.
It is similar to that, yes.
Okay, then it seems to be a very good thing.
They're chosen. Okay, so every year the Library of Congress chooses, you know, a series of films to preserve, to keep for preservation of, like, this is indicative of American culture, American creation, our creativity, our entertainment. And mm-hmm. Lord of the Rings and Return of the Jedi were two of the films mm-hmm. chosen.
Right.
So
a film with many British actors that was filmed in New Zealand. But
well,
by a Kiwi director.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
we'll take it. America should be celebrating great transcendent works.
We'll take it.
Exactly.
It's much better that they put this in there than like Atomic Blonde or something, you know?
Right, of course. But they did put WALL-E in there.
Or the Ghostbusters made
with WALL-E's
all the
a good
girls.
Film. You don't like WALL-E?
I don't know if WALL-E, if like, if aliens came down in 100 years
yeah.
and they look through the National Film Registry and
okay,
they're like, oh,
yo.
Wow, WALL-E. This is what America was all
about. First of all, WALL-E would be pretty legit to what America's pretty much all about. A bunch of fat people rolling around on their little scooters.
Who are you
and
calling fat?
Killing nature.
Yeah. Are you an America
nature.
Hater, Amal? What's going on?
Yeah, what is going
That's
on?
That's pretty indicative of like American culture right now
no,
with
is,
the obesity
so
rates
true, sure,
and
definitely.
The lack of care.
Right. I would be I will say this. I would be incredibly happy if aliens or some extra society in 1,000 years came and they saw the Lord of the Rings.
Mm.
They'd be like, why did we destroy this place? They have created
wow.
beautiful things.
We should definitely keep this place around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They see the Lord of the Rings. They see when, well, of course you are. And I'm coming too. They would see that and they would absolutely.
They would,
learn they would
the value
save
of
Earth.
Alien friendship.
Oh, Lord,
exactly.
Have mercy.
They would save the Earth.
Yeah, they would see Lord of the Rings and go, you know what? I'm going to reverse what I've done here. I'm
gonna
bring
what movie
back.
Would you put in? The time capsule.
I have no idea. You can't just put me on the spot and say what movie would I throw in here. I have no idea.
You can't crap on Lord of the Rings
yes,
and then
I
not
can.
Have anything to
yes,
back it
I
up
Yes, I can
with.
Because you guys deserve it. You constantly talk about Lord of the Rings. Constantly.
Sounds like orc mischief to me.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, but there's 25 others on this list. Or there's 23 others on this list if you guys want to go check it out. It is published in the New York Times. The only movies that I recognize from this list are WALL-E, Selena, of course, Lord of the Rings, although I haven't watched it. A Nightmare on Elm Street, and that's it. And Star
never
Wars.
Never heard of Star Wars? About to say.
And Star Wars, of course. But other than that, nothing really to write home about. Now, guys, we're going to go into our final fun segment of the day, and that is a Will and Amal Live, you know, Will, Taylor, me, superlatives. We're going to be going through superlatives and seeing which one of us would be most likely to fall into that category. Let's see. Superlative, first set here, most likely to go to space.
I would say me.
I would also say Will.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor would be like, no, I have a wife. We're going to have a kid. I'm like trying to stay on Earth.
I would go to space.
Oh. You would go to space.
Yes.
Taylor won't even go to like San Clemente for a rally. You think he's going to go to space?
Taylor is totally not
well,
going
San
to space.
San Clemente is not space. Let's be clear.
Yeah.
But
he won't drive to Santa Monica Boulevard.
Amala's the one going to all these fancy galas and parties and stuff. So
I'm
she'll
like,
probably meet some billionaires that'll be like, do you want to come on my spaceship?
No.
That's true.
Sure.
It'll be like those Instagram models who get flown out to Dubai.
Oh, yeah. Just because you're just a pretty face, so you get on the spaceship.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yep. Exactly.
Wow. Well, at least you guys are calling me pretty, I guess. That's nice.
No, I would say I would probably go.
No, it's definitely
I would
Will.
For sure go.
I text Taylor to be like, hey, you want to go play some pool? And he's like, make sure it's not more than 20 minutes away from my house.
Yeah, that's true. Getting old, guys.
So it's not.
Getting old. Not leaving the West Side after 6 p.m.
Yeah, exactly.
Happening. It's not
no,
Taylor.
I understand.
Okay, next. Most likely to become a scientist.
I don't
know. I would probably say me again.
I almost went into a medical
scientist?
I almost went into a medical science. That's what I was studying. So maybe me, but definitely and when it comes to like political type, Will is getting lots into science right now with
yeah,
the whole
Will's
COVID
been doing
research.
A deep dive on the COVID stuff.
Yes,
so.
He has. So maybe it's William. Who knows? Depends on what type of science. If you're going into medical science, maybe it's both Will and I.
I don't know, but both of y'all are dropouts.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
So neither of us have scientists in our
no,
near future.
I am sure that Amal and I could make one of those carbon dioxide. Like carbon monoxide volcanoes.
Carbon
monoxide.
Carbon
monoxide.
Yeah.
I'm a scientist, okay?
Okay, definitely not Will. Scratch him off the list.
We go live tomorrow and we're just dead on the screen.
I left my car running for a little too long in my garage.
Okay. Next, most likely to design a video game.
I don't know.
It's got to be somebody.
Scott.
Maybe yeah, Scott. Potentially. Hot Scott?
I don't know. I'm not interested in designing them.
If it was designing as in like the lore of the video game.
Okay.
Okay, then Will would definitely. I'd probably say me. It'd definitely be Will.
Well, it's not Amelus, so whatever.
Yeah, okay. Next.
I've won all three of these so far.
Yeah, well,
I guess
you have.
We're keeping score, okay.
Most likely, it's not winning, okay? It just simply is. Most likely to become a ninja.
Will just did some self-defense training today.
That means absolutely nothing.
What? I will tackle you to the ground.
Amelus not
impressed. I mean, you could try.
I don't know.
I could put Taylor in a sleeper hold.
Only if I'm acting
maybe,
for
I don't
a
know.
Skit.
Who's most likely to become a ninja?
I would probably say me again.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
We'll give it to Will because he just did
whatever.
That.
Whatever. Okay.
Today.
Most likely to win an Olympic medal, Taylor.
Oh,
100%.
Okay.
Beach volleyball.
Yeah, probably Taylor.
Hey, yeah, that's
yeah,
a good
Yeah, Taylor.
One.
Okay, 100% Taylor.
No.
My athletic prowess is unmatched.
Next.
Air rifle, such, though. I'm looking good with air rifles.
Heck yeah.
Horseback riding.
Most likely
curling.
To most likely to star in a movie.
Probably Amala.
I think it's probably me. I did a lot of musical theater, a lot of acting, a lot of auditions when I was a youngin' and in my early teens. Mm-hmm. So I'll take star in a movie.
Yeah, I'd say.
Most likely to travel the world. T-Dog, and he already has.
Taylor's already done it.
Taylor's already done it, so he's
most likely.
Most likely
to do it next, yeah.
Most likely to do it next is Will.
Yeah.
I have moderate interest in doing that, so.
You're about to leave the country.
I am. I'm leaving in January.
Yeah.
Probably going also to Europe.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Oh, and also, yeah.
Europe's a good way to scratch off a bunch of countries at once.
It is.
Yeah, I'm trying to go and, well, I can't say. It's a secret. But
it's a little sneaky secret.
But big things.
It also has to do with his martial arts training.
No, that's for Dominican Republic.
The Europe thing's different.
Yeah. Yeah, the Europe thing is different. So that's for,
romantic
world domination.
With Scott.
Got it.
All right.
You guys are already answering the superlatives in the comments, but
yeah,
go ahead and do it. And also, if you want to write out your own superlatives when the show's over in the comments on YouTube, feel free to do that. The one with the most likes we will talk about on the show tomorrow. Most likely to make you laugh. This is a tie for me between Will and Taylor. They both make me laugh nearly equally and for different reasons. So,
Amala laughs at anything, though.
I do. The barrier to entry when it comes to me laughing or giggling is extremely low. Extremely low.
It is.
She'll laugh out of nervousness at how unfunny things are.
It's like, yeah. It's
this
also...
is an awkward situation, right, guys?
It's a coping mechanism, yeah.
Most likely to laugh, also. Amala.
Yeah,
yeah,
most likely
Taylor,
to laugh.
I make Taylor laugh the most, and Taylor makes me laugh the most.
There you go.
And then Amala just laughs.
Yeah. I just laugh at everything. Okay. Next. Right. Most likely to break out in song. Come on, guys.
We'll give it to Amala.
Come on. It's definitely
not me. So
I sing badly randomly a lot, but we'll
yeah,
give it to
Amala. You do sing randomly.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely to win a Nobel Peace Prize. I'm going to give it to Taylor. I think it's Taylor. Know.
Yeah, I wouldn't give it to me. Unless it's like...
Will's too combative.
Yeah.
Will's right. Way too combative.
Well, after I take over the world and then I like give it to myself, you know, that could work. But actually fairly win it, I would give it to Taylor.
People are saying... Thanks, guys. Some people are saying Taylor. Some people are saying me. We should have put these as polls on YouTube.
I know.
And we didn't.
They happen too fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, Taylor wins. Taylor's like a very peaceful, you know, humanitarian type guy.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
You're very conciliatory too, though. In your takes, you're always like looking out for the
amenable, agreeable,
the misunderstood leftist. That's
true.
That we beat the tar out of their arguments, and you're
I'm
like,
all about peace and love, baby. Yeah. Peace and love.
Destruction.
And then we have Will. Okay, most likely to
Bring
start.
Out the wolf's head.
Most likely to start a fashion trend.
Grand.
I made fun of
I am the most fashionable one of the three of us. I'm just going to put that out there. I don't know that I'm starting any fashion trends, but I'm
When I want to be fashionable, I am very fashionable.
Taylor, can you confirm this? Because I cannot confirm this.
Like, I don't know. It depends on what sappy teen show that Will is watching, and then he gets inspired
by the leading man. Straight up.
Exactly.
And starts a trend.
A shopper, love fashion, you know, go for that best dress title. But I don't know
with my suits,
starting a trend.
In terms of dressing nice...
Mm-hmm.
My suits are very. I take He's, pride.
He picks
in,
a good suit.
I
like
take
Jordan
pride in
Peterson.
That. Yeah,
like Jordan.
You have to spend at least $2,000.
This is very good. The suit is very good.
Yeah.
The idea is.
I take pride in that.
Questionable.
Type of
I'm caring now that I'm married and stuff. I'm like care less than ever. Yeah. About it. I'm like okay, slowly so trying to transition my wardrobe to like dad shirts okay. and stuff.
There's no way Will gets a superlative because he comes to work in board shorts and I come dressed up. So it's definitely
that's fashionable.
Me.
All I wore the Matrix leather suit the other day.
Yeah, I came dressed like Trinity. To work the other day. Next, most likely to have a house full of pets. William
Me,
Witt.
For sure.
100%.
Yeah. I love pets.
A bunch of golden
dogs.
Retrievers.
Like, 100%.
Like 16
like
golden retrievers.
Next to my chickens.
Yeah. House full of pet fur.
That's also true. I have both.
Yeah.
It's in his car. It's everyone rocking.
It's all over this jacket.
Next one. Most likely to start a band.
Amala.
Me. I like that I get the music ones. That's always nice. That's yeah, a throwaway. If you guys want to check out my most recent Music Monday, it's on my Instagram at the Amala Pinobi, where I sing you guys a bunch of Christmas songs with a little Yule log fire in the back. Next, most likely to win the lottery.
I already won the lottery with friends like you guys.
Why did that make both of us bust out laughing? That's hilarious.
That's
that was a good one.
But I think it's like, I don't know, so like ironic of Will saying it. That's why.
that's exactly right. That's
I don't think any of us
me.
Seem. Yeah, I would say Taylor probably. I don't think
you guys are more betting men.
Okay, has anyone in here actually ever bought a lottery ticket?
No.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I never have.
So okay,
lottery
so
tickets
Will.
Is tons of fun.
So it's Will.
Yeah.
I mean, lottery is just a stupid tax.
Yeah.
Buying like
it is.
Like it is. Like, you going and buying tons. I see people they're addicted to buying
but it's
lottery.
It's the same
tickets.
As gambling. Yep. It's like put it all in red.
So yeah, but I feel like gambling has more. Like gambling at least has some skill.
Yeah.
You know,
and
like the games.
Sometimes, yeah.
Right.
Not all of
them,
of course.
Yeah, not all of them.
It's not like you're setting your hopes on making money gambling necessarily, right. Unless you have a problem.
Right.
The lottery, it's like you probably just have a problem.
Oh, this
you
one.
Just pull
this
it out,
start
scratching it for people.
Most likely to write a best-selling book. Will, did you just write this onto the thing?
No, I didn't put that on there. But I did have a best-selling.
Obviously,
book.
This one's definitely me.
Yeah, it's
this one's
obviously
probably Taylor. Taylor.
Yeah, it's obviously.
Yeah.
Anyways,
How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies, available on Amazon or anywhere books are sold. Get it as a Christmas gift for your friends, family, whoever.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Next superlative, most likely to help.
It was
a strange...
national best-selling book.
Will sign it.
I'll
personalize
sign it.
Every single.
You can
one.
You can actually get a signed copy through PragerU. If you go on our website PragerU.com, you can get a signed copy.
I'll sign your copy, Will.
Yeah. Are we done? Mm-hmm. Most
we
likely.
We got the number.
Oh,
all right, sorry. Keep
my
going.
Gosh.
All right, no more.
Next superlative. Most likely to help a stranger. Will would qualify him signing a book as helping a stranger.
I help strangers all the time with my Man on the Street video.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, right.
They're very helped by my content.
So charitable.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I think we would all help a stranger.
I think it's between you guys.
It's,
LA has made me jaded.
That kind of is true a little bit with Taylor.
It's just so tough. Like, I remember back before I moved to LA, you see homeless people and stuff, and I would be like stirred and sad. And
right.
Like, now that's like most of them, they're just entitled and they're choosing this lifestyle, and it's just very difficult to like. One of them tried to get in my car the other day.
That's
I was
true.
Trying to pull out of the office, and some guy literally opened my rear door of my car while I was in it and was like, "Hey, I need a ride." And I'm like, I'm not your Uber, bro.
Where are you
bro.
Going?
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
Car smells like-
He's like, LAX.
Yeah.
Hop on in, buddy.
Like, it's 4:30.
You
know how long
station.
It's going to take me to get there?
Going to a rehab center.
Oh, my gosh.
No,
yeah,
I'd say Taylor.
Say
I'm not
going to
say myself.
Why wouldn't you say
I've
yourself?
I've seen Will help a stranger with nobody was watching, so I'll give him credit for that.
That's true.
And Amala's very sweet, too.
But I'm not going to say myself. Of course, that's no.
You can, if it's true, you can say yourself.
I'm not going to say
it's false humility, Will.
Well, coming on.
The Bible tells us to not, if you are doing good deeds, you don't
need let your left hand know what your right's doing.
Right.
Most likely to become a famous dancer.
Definitely me.
Definitely me. Definitely me.
I don't, I
haven't
say
seen
Amala
you dance,
sure.
Amala.
You've never seen
Amala
me.
For sure.
No.
We go, oh, okay.
At the wedding.
Yeah, you did see me dance at the wedding.
Yeah, that's
but that was
like,
kind of
like,
that's not my
anybody
not my
can
music.
Just go like this at a wedding.
Not everyone can do the worm.
Okay.
Will did the worm. Am I
Will
right?
did
he set the,
room.
The bar higher, honestly.
I
okay.
Did.
Well, you're going to have to go dancing next time me and my roommate go dancing. Because
right, well.
We don't play.
As long as y'all don't leave
dancing.
Your house at 1 a.m.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
Taylor's
exactly.
like, if it's after 6.
Every time I'm supposed to have plans with Amala, it's like, oh, I won't be ready for another 3 hours after whatever.
No, it's I'm waiting for my roommate, and she won't be ready for another hour.
Either you're getting your hair done, and you got 6 hours left, or she is. Or, I'm like, all right, well, we're going home at
one
10.
Of these days, we're going
to
go dancing.
I went to sleep at 9 last night.
Glorious.
Well, so
it was great.
Living the dream.
And then I woke up at 5 this morning. I wake up at 9, Or go to sleep at 9, wake up at 5.
I go to sleep at like 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Consistently. Okay, most likely to become a teacher. I'm going to vote.
I vote me.
You vote you? Yeah. I was going to vote Taylor because I feel like if Taylor ever leaves PragerU in any capacity, it'll be to go teach.
I used to want to be a professor, but...
Yeah, I could see that too.
I don't know.
Yeah, Taylor would make an excellent teacher.
When I was 6 years old, I used to go to school, right? Go into first grade. And when we went shopping, like school shopping during the summer, I purposefully got clothes that made me look like a middle-aged woman because I wanted to be a teacher so badly.
I remember shopping at Target and seeing my teacher at Target.
Oh, yeah.
And she was working at Target. And that was sad.
That's sad. It's always sad when, like, over the summer, you see your teachers and administrators, like, working other jobs.
I know.
You're so like, dude, they don't pay you
teachers
enough.
Teachers do deserve to make more.
They
money.
Really do.
I don't know about all that.
They really do.
I mean, not
do.
The woke ones.
Yeah, I good definitely teacher. Don't.
School choice.
Well, I just tell everyone, watch Norm MacDonald's stand up about teachers being the real heroes. It'll change your mind. It's fantastic. It's so funny.
All right, Mr. Abolish Norm. The schools. All right.
Most likely to become president. Step one.
This is too serious. You guys actually have chances of becoming president.
No, we don't. Neither of us would ever run for president.
I'd say Amelie because she's black.
It's definitely, yeah. If you're looking for like black female, I need like 14 more years, right? 14 years of just no hiccups, no cancel culture, no saying the wrong thing. I'm in there like swimwear, baby.
Well, we know you guys are going to be on the same ticket. It's really just who's going to be the president.
Kamala? Is it Epinobi Witt or is it Witt Epinobi?
Kamala 2020. Five.
Hell yeah. No,
I live in a perpetual world of one day saying, I want to be the president, and the next day saying, I want to go live on a homestead in Idaho.
I have no interest in being the president.
I mean, that's
I have
Aragorn interest. Just wanted to be Strider, but then he had to set aside the ranger and become who he was born to be.
I know.
Three more superlatives here.
Like, oh, none.
Screw that.
Yeah, I'm just like always going to avoid those conversations. Most likely to run off with the circus.
Will.
If
it's a homesteading circus.
Yeah, I'd probably say me.
Yeah, it might be Will.
He loves animals.
Yeah, he could be like a circus vet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Plus he's a clown.
That's a knee slapper right there.
Oh, just kidding.
Next one. Most likely to be on the cover of a magazine.
Well, you are a woman.
Will's like, I deserve to be on GQ.
Every year for sexiest man, I get slighted every year.
There was that awkward silence because everyone wanted to be like, someone else save me.
Exactly.
I'll take all the girly ones. I feel like being on the cover of a magazine is a girly one. Most likely to keep a secret.
Keep a secret.
Taylor, Will? I don't know. It's definitely not me.
I don't know.
100% not.
Will's
me.
Kept lots of secrets from me. I feel like there's so many keys I don't know.
There's a lot you don't know.
Will's got like a lot of, just got this dark chest of secrets.
Uh-huh. No, they're just waiting to come out. It'll be just an explosion of boiled up secrets.
You can come out, Will. It's okay.
That's my biggest secret.
It's definitely
But you can't
me.
Tell anyone. Taylor, don't tell anyone.
I'll keep secrets if it's like it's like purposeful for me to keep it and like it would be
detrimental.
Yeah, I think
detrimental. Would be super, I mean, I think both of you guys would be super trustworthy if I was like, this is a secret, don't tell anyone.
Right,
I would trust both
right.
So.
Of course. Yeah. Okay.
But who would accidentally let it slip like Michael Scott?
Oh, 100% me. 100%. 100%. I think it's, either one of you can get the keep a secret because it ain't me.
All right.
Anyways, guys, that is our PragerU superlatives. I think we had a pretty even split among these.
Fun Friday came early this week,
I guess. Fun Friday. We're just full of fun, guys, here on Will and Amel Live. Will, are you going to say anything or are you just eating your
goldfish? I'm eating my goldfish. So.
That's all the fun he needs.
Yeah. Like, you've been on the screen this whole time just eating your goldfish. I hope you know that you've been on the screen. The
I've been on the screen
time.
The whole time?
Yes.
I didn't know I was on the screen.
We've got split
I did
screen
the split
now.
View.
Oh.
William.
I wish someone would have alerted me to that fact.
I thought you have it in front of you. Oh, well.
It's okay.
Anyways, guys,
candid
you got
camera.
To watch. You got to watch Will eat some goldfish, which is an experience you don't normally get.
What
so.
A day.
What a day.
It's been a long day with the training and everything.
Yeah.
I didn't get to eat.
Yeah. But
so I got goldfish.
We still made it here for you guys to give our live. Thank you guys so much for watching. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single day when we go live, 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. If you'd like to listen to us, go to Google Play, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Give us a 5-star review. Let everybody know that you love the show. Let us know that you love our show. Down below, comment your own superlatives and who you think on the Will and Amla Live team would win them. Is it Will? Is it me? Is it Taylor? Is it Hot Scott? Is it our ex-intern, intern Tyler? I don't know. You guys let us know down below in the comments. The one that gets the most likes we will share on the show tomorrow, manana at 2:30 Pacific. Thank you guys for watching. We'll see you tomorrow.
Peace.